brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone, to another suds segment where we're not obsessed with beer. Like, don't even tell me that we are. Well, I mean, we like to talk about it constantly, and we seek it out everywhere we go, and we wear the clothes of the breweries and the beer. Well, okay, maybe we're slightly obsessed with it.
I like my sexy voice.
There it goes. As Drew is looking at me going, nope, not going to happen today. So
I'm back.
Okay. Well, I'm one of your hosts, Kudo Gal Juliana, and joining me at this illustrious table today is the cool guys, Kudo Boy Mike.
Wait, when will the cool guys get to speak?
Yeah, I'm just going to say Skyline Chili at least 20 times during this episode. So please hold the noodles. Please hold the chili. Just put a couple of things on my plate.
Extra chocolate.
Hint, correct, right?
Hint. Good old boy Kendall, hello.
It's either here or go riding roller coasters today. So I'm here.
Rocks, paper, scissors.
Chose poorly.
Wow.
You'll probably throw up less here.
I like the word less.
Skyline Chili.
Now, if my eyes are deceiving me, is that Dave? Is that good old boy Drew?
I don't know. It could be a mirage.
Oh.
This is not the Drew you're looking for. This is just a tribute.
And good old boy Dave.
You know, what's funny to me about Ohio is that it's the only place where if someone offers you a three-way, they mean Skyline Chili with spaghetti and cheese.
Well, it depends on if you have a foot in Kentucky at the time that that's made.
Then you know, it involves
then
your sister.
It's questionable exactly what they mean. So
could be your Uncle Daddy.
Yeah, it could be Uncle Daddy.
Oh. Something, something, Burgoo.
Well.
I like how we've lost a certain portion of our core audience within the first 7 minutes.
There's a lot of beer being drank in the Midwest, so we may have shot ourselves in the foot.
Maybe. Okay. Well, good old boy Mike just got back from a road trip, and you know how we all love our road trips. He's going to tell us a bit about it today, including how many more states he's now banned from.
Three and a half.
But while he was away,
once again,
luckily for us, he snagged some beer for us to try. So today we're going to be sampling several beers from Sonder Brewing in Mason, Ohio. Good old boy Dave, were you able to copy and paste the usual from the website?
No. They have a very nice website.
They do.
I will say
it's colorful, very nice too.
And they have a very extensive about section of the website. You know what it doesn't have? Anything about the brewery. So yeah. But I did find out that Sonder is the realization that each person is uniquely crafted. Which makes me believe that whoever wrote that has never been to Walmart. So, and this beer better be very good because now they're starting out.
I'm debating if this is a display of Dave's, you know, vast intellectual knowledge or the fact that he couldn't figure out how to paste. He got copy, but he couldn't paste. So.
Baby steps.
I've played with a lot of paste.
Think it's
eaten some.
Correct. Yes. You and Justin both can stand in the corner and go, I like last spring's Elmer's glue.
That's right.
You know.
So. Don't eat the gorilla glue. I'll tell you that.
Wow.
Did you know that Sonder also means to probe?
Yeah, that would not work well with the context of beer. So
no, no, it could come up later.
Yeah. So that guy was just trying to saunter that van.
To be continued. Okay. Good old boy, Kendall. Why don't you give us the lineup for today?
My pleasure. The Sonder Brewing beers we'll be tasting and discussing today are You Betcha, a New England IPA, a Kolsch named Voss, the Cato Coffee Blonde Ale with Script Cato Ethiopian Blend, one of the Fresh Pick R&D beers, the Italian Pilsner, and their Nocturnal, a dark lager.
A personal favorite of one good old boy, Kendall.
Yes.
That is.
Yes.
Many of these I've had before. It's a nice list.
Thank you, Kendall. That was awesome. Good old boy, Drew, why don't you give us the ratings in your best Midwestern Ohio-ish accent?
I'll do my best. We'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud with my Skyline Chili. 2, was that a belch or is that a pork loin sandwich?
Ooh, pork loin sandwich.
3, what a relief. We left Ohio.
Wow.
4, a body should really not make that sound with chocolate in chili.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
5, listen to that hang time. Give me another and go red legs.
I was trying to look up unique foods to
Ohio. You should look up the Skyline Chili menu. Yeah,
I saw
and just you know the vast array of things that they adulterate chili.
I mean, I know they like the Buckeye candies, and I know people there like to have French fries in their what do you call it?
Gravy.
Oh, I have a story about sweet potatoes. Yeah, that you're just not going to believe.
I'm not comfortable with you talking about your sweet potatoes. Funny.
Well, okay.
That got weird.
Let's get to it.
Well, I thought I'd throw a little context here of our lineup for today. So I was on a road trip.
Yay!
This was kind of towards the end of a month on the road. And I happened to see Kendall's. He took a trip to Pittsburgh and drove back through where his family's from, which is in Eastern Ohio.
Oh, man, we've been
ripping
on Kendall's.
I saw him drop by Sonder, and I was like, you know, I've had a beer from Sonder, but I had never been to the brewery and really hadn't had the full lineup. And so when we were driving that way, I needed a pit stop. And
he means potty break.
And so we need a gas as well. And I could have used just a break to get out of the car. And so I saw, wow, Sonder is literally right off the interstate. So if you are having to be traveling on I-75 and you're around the Kings Island area, boom, there you are. You can stop right over to Sonder. And we actually were there. It was a festival that weekend. That they were having, and
was it the Jam and Fruited Beers Festival?
It was. It was a bunch of live bands, and that had actually, I think, already occurred, or it was about to occur. I can't remember, one or the other. So they had a lot of beers on tap that were for the festival, and they have a pretty long lineup of regular beers.
Yeah, they do. They've got a great list and good variety.
Yeah, and I honestly did not know a whole lot about Sonder other than Kendall said, this place is the bomb. If you're ever out this way, stop. So guess what I did? Followed your advice. So there you have. That is how much thought went into me dropping by Sonder, but I'm really glad. And so they had, I don't want to say about 12 beers on tap, and then they had a R&D series. One of which they packaged and is in the lineup today, which is the blonde coffee. And and I'll actually talk about the coffee along with the beer when we get to that beer. But up first is the IPA called
You Betcha.
You Betcha.
Get her done.
It was the first beer that I had in the lineup. I'll let you tell everybody about this one here.
Okay, so 6.5% ABV New England style IPA. It was a 2019 Cincinnati IPA Madness winner. A hoppy, hazy, tropical fruit explosion with a juicy and soft texture, leaving some bitterness behind.
Yeah, the first thing that comes to my mind is, wow, this is fruit strike gum. Mm-hmm.
Bubble gum. I was like, what kind of gum is this?
Oh, yeah. All the way. This
very
is
fruity.
Very fruity. Has that cornucopia, almost the same exact sugars, but incredibly well made.
Yeah, it doesn't have any burn. It's got a nice light feel on the mouth.
It does have a nice light mouthfeel, but it's very... It kind of sits there nice, and the flavors are really kind of rich. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's got a nice creaminess. Everything just lingers, but you don't have any harsh bitterness killing it.
No, there's nothing harsh at all about it, which is really nice.
Feels very Midwestern.
Yeah.
This doesn't taste 6.5 either to me.
Now, Mike, how would you doctor up your Skyline Chili to mesh well with this?
I would probably put the Skyline Chili in my favorite trash can and drink the rest of this beer. That's how I would probably handle the situation. So
that was the correct answer.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I had a lot of hazy IPAs across the board, and I really thought this was very well made. It was a little different on, because it was so fruit forward, but I thought it was very well balanced, well made.
Always enjoyed this beer when I go there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I would go back. Not only did I like it, I bought a 6-pack of it. So there you go.
Woohoo! Okay, so we are going to rate the You Betcha New England IPA from Sonder a 4.
Good start, Sonder.
Yeah, a really great start. And the thing that I like in this lineup is it's definitely not going to be a one-note wonder. So it's a broad range of beers that they have. And after the break, I'll talk a little bit about the facility itself in the tap room that Kendall and I got to stop by, and maybe some of the colorful personnel there.
Be back shortly.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is a brewery takeover, but we're also going to hear about some little tidbits of good old boy Mike's road trip that took him to this brewery, Sonder Brewery, in Mason, Ohio. So the next beer up is going to be the Kolsch. And the Kolsch is a...
Voss.
Yeah. 4.8% ABV. Clean, crisp, and refreshing German-style Kolsch. Light golden color and noble hop character and light floral aroma. This is a 2023 World Beer Cup Gold in the German style Kolsch category.
Well, they had actually done quite well in a lot of beer competitions, and it was nice that they, threw those up on their menu board that you could see some of those. And it definitely caught my attention that a clean line beer, had done so well. We've been, some of us have been judges for World Beer Cup. It's a good competition and a little different than GABF and some other, beer festivals. But I'm always a good sucker for great clean line beer. This is fantastic. This is a really good Kolsch.
Yeah, I love this beer. Get that nice, clean, almost crackery, grainy flavor to it. Mm. That little bit vague. It says floral, but you don't kind of get any one flower. It's like you just walked into a flower shop.
A little bit of lemon balm. If I had to fruit. Yeah. If I had to pick something.
Oh yeah, little bite there. But it's really great beer.
Yeah, and Kolsch's like scare me because sometimes they're a little too sweet or
this just, is not
or
too dry.
Right.
Yeah. This has great balance.
Yes, it is. But that cracker flavor, like getting a good Kolsch and getting the floral cracker is, that's a sight to behold and taste. And this is impressive. Yeah, this is really impressive. I'm really digging it.
Beer-flavored beer.
Kobe, nice. Dave, what do you think of it?
I think it's nice, but I want to know from Mike, when you were driving through Ohio, did you happen to pass near Dublin, Ohio?
Yeah.
Did you see the field of corn or corn hinge?
Well, we still grow like 400 acres of corn. So, yeah.
You don't grow corn like this corn.
Okay.
It looks like a field full of large corn sculptures.
Oh, no. I know what we're talking about. No, we didn't drive by there. That's a little north of, that's on the north side of Dublin.
You've let me know.
Yeah. All of my family's from Plain City, home of the noodles and mashed potatoes. So, you know.
What?
Yeah, that's right, folks.
What?
Yep, that's correct. If you
double starch.
If you are not having noodles and mashed potatoes, you know, I'm sorry, you cannot say I have been to Plain City or frankly any Amish country or county in the area. So that is a firm requirement that you must have noodles and mashed potatoes. So
is that like deconstructed pierogi?
I guess so.
Yeah. Essentially.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
Never thought of it that way.
So you put down the mashed potatoes first, and then
it's all mixed together.
You got to cover.
That's right.
That's
native. Yep.
Ooh,
sounds like a
textural nightmare.
But it's very appealing to, it just draws you in
visually appealing.
Yeah.
Yep. You'll after that moment, you'll walk out with so many different fruit pies you didn't even know existed. All now, I have to say is rhubarb pie.
What type of noodles are we talking? Are we talking egg noodles?
Yeah, what kind of noodles?
Egg noodles.
What shape?
Yeah, okay, they're egg noodles.
So wide, flat egg noodles and lumpy mashed potatoes?
I guess it takes you closer one with God.
That's all I know.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, no, Amish country, maybe not.
No, they got their own potatoes. Yeah, they go real.
You think they put it through a potato ricer, you know, to get that texture just right?
Maybe.
We should probably rate up this Kolsch before we get down this rabbit hole a little too.
Okay.
A little too well, so.
I'm going five. I think we're going five on this. Because this is nice it. Yeah, very this good. Is exceptional.
Yeah. And it would probably go well with mashed potatoes and noodles. So.
Yeah. It's one of the best we've had as far as Kolsch goes.
All right. Well, so I have another story from Ohio that you should definitely know about. If you had to have sex with a certain part of the van, what part of the van would you pick?
Come again?
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what she said.
I know, Dave. You've thought about this long and hard. Yep. I just used the word long, hard, and sex all in the same sentence.
Tailpipe. That's where you got to go, man.
I think we're really shocked. Just, you know. Flabbergasted.
I'm debating if this is a byproduct.
I thought we were all going to say which part of the van we would have sex with.
I have no idea what part of the van is appealing.
All right, so this story is from David Moy. It is about Michael William Henson, who was 35 and facing charges of indecency after allegedly having sex with a parked van in Dayton, Ohio. Now, I'm not going to say that I have a lot of family in Dayton, but it happens.
Was the van a standard shift?
I'll let you speculate here through this story. Talk about being up in someone's grill. A man in Dayton, Ohio, is because he had sex with the front grill of a van parked on the street. Officers responding to a call Tuesday found the suspect, 35-year-old Michael Henson, wearing only a pair of black shorts and black shoes. Well, at least he was well-coordinated. So Henson was taken into custody and put in the back of the squad car while officers spoke to a female witness. Now, did they put the grill in the back seat with him? I mean, was he still physically attached?
Well, did they ask the van if it consented?
Did they have to bring out the jaws of life? An extra strong version of KY jelly, or some other personal lube?
Maybe the van was flirting with him or something.
Smokes. You
know, she said that he was asking for it.
She said that.
What was it wearing?
Yeah, exactly. She said that Henson pulled down his shorts and then put his genitals in the front grill of a red van parked on the side of the road.
Okay, so here's, it was a red van.
Yeah.
That means it's a slut.
That changes the nature of the story.
I wonder if the van was wearing one of those car bras, you know?
The suspect passed out.
Or it was just hanging out.
Yeah.
Died. It gets better. He passed out in the front yard near the van, and then the woman called police. Now,
that's methed up.
I just want to know.
I think the van was asking for
it. I just want to know, where was the video? Okay, if you took that long, you know, to call the police, I'm sure there's video involved. So Henson woke up and was walking before police came to the scene. Was he going back to the van, or exactly where was he headed? So they questioned him, and he appeared to be intoxicated. Cool.
Was it a minivan or full-sized?
I wonder if he's a fan of the show. So police contacted the owner of the van, who allegedly said he was unaware of any incident. Henson was booked for public indecency and taken to Montgomery County Jail, where he remained on a $2,500 bond until his arraignment on Wednesday, according to the
He could have, for $2,500, he could have rented a van.
Yeah, I mean, you could have rented your own van. You didn't have to violate somebody else's vehicle. So, So this is what happens when you eat mashed potatoes and noodles.
I think so.
Yeah.
How do you get that confused with?
Are there T-shirts that are sold in Dayton? This is, I know the dude that screwed the van.
I guarantee you, there is a van fetish website on the internet right now. I promise you, there is.
Don't encourage people to do that. Go ahead, do it.
Yeah, you know, this is, oddly enough, this is not the weirdest story like this we've had on the show.
Oh, this is not even close to the weirdest
story. We had a guy that had sex with a tree a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they're cousins.
Maybe.
Was it also in Ohio?
No, it was not in Ohio. I think it was Oregon.
Yeah, something like that. I think he was a druid, but whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the line of questioning, you know, with the cop. That I'm like, sir, were you having sex with the van? I mean, where do you start?
I think this is the kind of thing that
keeps... Do you consider that, is that sexual assault or trespassing?
I think this is the kind of thing that makes
vandalism.
Police work worth it all. You know, like if you're a cop and you're kind of burned out...
What kind of training videos do you have for that situation?
Sir, step away from the van, please. Okay, no. Step back towards the van, please.
Tommy handled that situation with great care, you know, and we welcome the fact that, you know, he interrogated him properly.
Did they have to offer the van some grief counseling or something like that?
Are they, is the van considered a vehicle or a victim? You know?
Yeah.
Is
there even a law in the books about the
public indecency?
It's Ohio. Anything is possible. Obviously, yes, but that is correct. So, yeah. How much Skyline chili did he consume before this moment?
I'm just trying to think. Does it make a difference if the vehicle is a standard vehicle or one of the new autonomous ones?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Oh.
Yeah.
What, did he think it was like a Tesla or something? Those new Tesla van truck things? Okay. I'm...
Was this Cybertruck?
Was this his first van or is like his fifth van? You know,
is he a repeat offender?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Do you get points on your license or something like this?
Does he only go for vans?
What kind of beer was he enjoying? Hopefully it was some of that good Kolsch that we just had. So, yeah. Juliana's beside herself. She doesn't know how to control the cats. love this. Yeah. Wow. Just when you need a cattle prod or a good taser.
Oh my gosh. I just like, does he go on a list? Like, do all van owners in the area have to be on alert? Like, I don't understand. Okay.
Well, I personally think he would have been welcome at the festival at Sonder, you know, because that would have kicked things up for sure.
He's definitely uniquely crafted.
he's definitely a Sonder. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And he likes to probe.
I need to get to a beer now after this. Yeah, I do. Okay, so let's talk about the Cato Coffee Blonde Ale with Script Cato Ethiopian Blend. That sounds kind of cool. 4.8% ABV. It's a crisp and light body blonde ale with a pleasantly delicate coffee backbone. This was a silver medal winner at the 2022 GABF in the coffee beer category. Okay.
Smells amazing.
So, Mr. Coffee Connoisseur, what do you know about
the coffee that went with this from Scripps, I believe is what it was. I picked up both the beer and the coffee to enjoy. Super solid Ethiopian that they had with this. It was, definitely there are a lot of Ethiopian coffees that are intensely bitter. A lot of people enjoy, Yirgacheffe is a very common region for that people enjoy, but Ethiopia actually has, I think, 6 different regions. But this one was super solid. It was actually a blend, if I remember right, from 2 or 3 different regions of Ethiopia. But I did like the coffee probably better than the beer. But the beer itself, I love the head fake moment. Because how many times have we had coffee beers? And they usually make it with cocoa nibs. And it's usually dark and you're kind of get tuned up going, oh, well, this is just going to be roast upon roast upon roast. Well, this is a blonde ale, so it's a giant head fake moment. And if you've ever had a white stout or a blonde stout, this is probably along some of those lines that you would have with those styles as well. So I love the fact that it just is, again, a giant head fake. You don't know what you're getting into until you get a good sniff of it, and then you're enjoying it.
Yeah, I think it's got a huge, wonderful coffee aroma. But the thing I like them on the kind of on the palate as it fades out, you're not getting a blast of coffee. It's just it's in there. It's subtle. It's really works with the beer.
It's a blonde beer with coffee.
Yeah, and it's just the other smooth. Way around.
I agree. It's definitely there. Like, obviously you smell it. It's in your face, and you get it on the very front of your palate, and then it does die off, and you're like, wow, this is a just phenomenal beer. Crisp, clean.
I think
coffee.
Blonde ales are a good palate for coffee because it just lets the coffee kind of do what it's going to do.
Yeah. And what I really appreciate about this one is, the aroma, it's like I have a fresh cup of coffee. Like, it's so pure. But then on the palate, I'm not getting any cream, and I'm so appreciative of that because I can't tell you how many like coffee blondes I've had where there's so much.
It's a stout.
Yeah, it's just so sweet that you lose.
Or porter.
You lose the sense of the roast. But the roast is here like all day long, but it's got a nice finish. And yeah, and for 4.8%, this is a huge amount of flavor.
It feels like this beer was engineered to be a coffee blonde, right? Like it wasn't an afterthought.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way of saying that.
And I love the quality of the base beer itself. This is a good, solid blonde itself,
Which in that sense is like blowing me away.
How many blonde, Belgian blonde styles are overtly sweet, that we've had, and this one has great balance on it, good finish all into its own, and the coffee hasn't stepped in and said, oh well, I'm just gonna hose that up. It actually has taken and added. It's additive in a good way. So I really like both sides of the coin of this. This is again a very well-made beer. I think I don't know how many batches they went through to get to this point, but whatever they did, it's working. for sure. Yeah,
this is like, this is a team player right here. This is a hockey team in the making.
I am.
Just saying.
Yes, but which hockey team?
Yeah, not the Blackhawks.
And not the Blackhawks.
Or the Blue.
That's correct.
The Blue Jackets.
Did I just hear your tattoo fade a little bit right then, Julian? So.
You know what? We're on the way up. I'm just saying.
Well, you don't have anywhere else to go.
From which point?
Yeah. You know? Granted, way we to can go from
only
the
go yeah. up, but we're on the way up.
Should have left the Western Conference.
And it's not 2000. It's not 99. You know, you're doing good. Yes, yeah, could be worse.
You know what?
If it wasn't for all those darn rules, the Blackhawks would be like the best team.
Oh my God, that's so rude. Well, so rude. But anyways.
We should rate this before we combine personal lube and a hockey discussion for sure. So
yeah, this is a solid 4. Yeah. Solid 4.
All right, Sandra, keep it up, buddy.
Okay, now coming up next is, well, I mean, who doesn't love a friggin' Pilsner, right? So this is from their R&D beers, and this is a Italian Pilsner. Mm. It uses, Eraclia Pilsner malt, which is grown near the Adriatic Sea. No wonder I didn't hear this before.
Go ahead and finish. I'll tell you the story.
Okay. That. Up front on the nose, you get floral, fruity, herbal, and spicy notes with flavors of fresh herbs, grass, dried flowers, citrus peel, and black tea.
So this definitely caught my attention as it was on the board. And I was asking them about the R&D series in general. And I asked specifically about this Italian Pilsner that I had. And they actually ship these hops in from Italy. And at an extraordinary cost. In fact, they barely break even making this beer, is what they were telling me. And I was like, yeah, that is definitely, you know, a set of ingredients that I've not run across lately. And I was like, okay, is this going to be better than a Peroni or not? That was where my head was, you know, at the moment. So, how many people do you know that have shipped in hops from great distances?
Well, I feel like a lot of brewers do that for special one-off beers. They you know, they probably stick with their regular contracts for most things, but they get an idea for something, and whether they're bringing it in from, you know, New Zealand or Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we know a lot of those special beers take special orders.
We're talking more about this beer right after this message.
See.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is a brewery takeover of Sondra Brewing in
Mason,
Ohio. And this is part of good old boy Mike's road trip that he took recently. Right before the break, we started talking about from the R&D series, their Italian Pilsner, which is a 5% ABV Italian Pilsner. And
I just asked a Kendall, do you go to Italia and get these hops?
Banned.
Or do you ship the hops across the world?
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. They're getting Italian hops. I'm not aware of many varieties of Italian hops that would work for something like this. So it's really cool because, you know, most hops are coming from a little bit farther north. So these must be grown, I'm guessing, up towards the Alps.
Venice. Eraclea is a small city and commune in the metropolitan city of Venice.
Well, that's where they're growing the malt, right?
Mm. That was the hops, I thought. Oh, no, you're right.
Oh, it is the malt.
You're right. I'm sorry. You're right.
But Either way, fantastic beer. I just love this beer. It's one of my favorite they've got on right now.
Yeah, it just has Tetnang hops.
Ah.
Yes, sorry. But it's the Adriatic Sea.
It's the malt they've shipped
malt
in, I guess.
The malt they're shipping, not the hops.
Yeah, sorry. And that's...
Which that probably is pretty expensive.
And that's very specific. Yeah, not to say like how heavy it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but right. There's a lot of brewers who will only use specific European barleys in their beers. You know, they're
very
going
much
for
so.
That taste, whether it's some German, you know, Pilsner malt or some French malt for your Saison. They're very picky.
Terroir.
Well, I wanted to talk about this beer first, but then I can talk a little bit more about, you know, kind of the relationship, you know, with having Italian ingredients, you know, after that. But I love this Pilsner. It is really good. And so I threw out the name of a macro, you know, Italian Pilsner, Peroni. It's very popular, widely distributed. And this is way, way, way better than, you know, most other Italian Pilsners that I've had. This is really good, quite tasty. And it's unfortunate that, you know, I'm sure that ingredient will not be utilized by somebody else anytime soon.
At least here in the United States. I mean, I'm
yeah,
sure
just
overseas
it's
just,
factor.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But this is...
Very soft. So
yeah, it's soft, but there's still so many layers to it. Like, and I'm getting this almost honey sweetness at the mm-hmm. end, which is just like, oh.
Yeah, it's a beautiful malt character in this beer. But then what they do
Lux.
With the hopping and the dry hopping, that just the aroma and flavor just pops mm-hmm. on this thing. And mm-hmm. it's very smooth. It works with that malt. And it's a great beer with food. When I was there, I ordered this to start. They've got a great little restaurant there if you stop by.
Get some noodles
get some
and mashed
yeah,
potatoes.
5 minutes off the free. Yeah.
No, see, I want a grinder with this. You know,
I had wings, none. Actually.
Mm.
But yeah,
that's a good pairing choice.
I had this with wings, and it was good, and I really enjoyed it, and I picked up a few packs myself to bring home. So,
nice.
Yeah. I was drinking one of these last night, even. It's a great beer.
Is black tea a normal, you know, note that you get with Italian Pilsners? It's not something I've seen before.
No.
I do get it with some German hop beers, though.
Yes.
Okay.
You definitely get that. So if you're using Tetnang, that makes sense.
Well, say that jumped out to me immediately, even before they read it on the page. I was like, oh, yeah. Man.
It's right? There.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is... I can't get over this. I wish there was more.
I haven't had a better Italian Pilsner, I think, ever.
Yeah, right?
And I seek them out. Like,
well, and the thing is like the Italian Pilsner to me is like the misfit child because... You don't think of it as being as prevalent. Like, do you know what I mean? Because I've never really enjoyed Peroni.
It's not a German, a Czech.
Well,
or, you
right,
know.
Right. I mean, and when I think of a Pilsner, I'm thinking of German or Czech. Specifically Czech. So this just blows me away.
Yeah, the style's blown up over the last few years.
Yeah.
And I could see why.
The hop forward nature of it, I think, is what's driving it. People just love hops. So
yeah.
Of course
sure.
They like this.
And in America... This is like a love language.
It's a hoppy Pilsner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No offense to the others. Yeah. Okay. So we shall rate. Yeah. There's no doubt. This is a 5 all day long.
I don't know how we're going to follow this, but I'm excited.
Well, you know, so one thing I was going to chime in about is what, you know, the landscape for beer looks like in Italia, you know, itself. I mean, it's just rampant with a ton of macro beers. I mean, you just are not going to run across a craft beer that is going to even taste remotely close to this in Italy itself. You're going to have to go far and wide out of your way, you know, to a craft beer bar that there's probably one in, you know, that part of the world or whatever town you're thinking of, because that's just not a very common, you know, thing for craft beer to be made and have a distribution that's, you know, beyond, you know, probably 400 yards, you know, in Italy itself, which is really unfortunate because that is a super solid beer that, you know, definitely if it was in country, you just would not be able to find it.
Well,
scusi, rabbit a boopy, che cosa?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how I sound making an yes. order, Dave. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it is, but like I'm wondering though, if you were going to Italy, Are you going to seek out beer or are you going to seek out wine? Like, no, I mean, Amari.
I'm sorry, let me think about it.
I know, because for me, Amari would be number one, you know, and then beer would be second, and then wine, only because I'm not as cool
when
as
in Rome,
boy Mike, in terms of wine loving.
But, I mean, you know, I'm looking for beer just about anywhere that, you know, can be good. It's not, you know, I would say, yes, that most people are not thinking of Italy as being the home of a lot of great beers. And I think part of it is just the landscape. There are just not that many brewers in Italy, you know. And it's really dominated, again, by so many macrobreweries in the area. Mm-hmm. So, but...
it's all about the limoncello.
Well, I wonder if protection gets expensive for a brewery.
But
sometimes your beers might just fall right out of the bottle.
I know with a guy with a van that might be available.
Ooh.
Hey, is that your original grill, man?
Yeah.
You're looking pretty hot. So
that is.
So I wanted to chat a little bit about the brewery itself as you're kind of driving. This place is in the middle of a huge industrial park. And that was the one thing that caught my attention is definitely a location. It literally is right across I-75 from Kings Island. So there are going to be a lot of people that may be taking some other trips to Kings Island. And
so drop the kids off at Kings Island and go across the road.
Sure can do that.
Actually, they...
What's a ticket cost at Kings Island these days? You can spend that on beer instead.
That might be a really good choice.
You would be wasted.
I could tell probably... I didn't look at any... I didn't get to look in the back, so I really don't know what the brewery looked like, but... if I had to guess, you know, it feels like they probably had maybe, you know, 12 different fermenters that are all like 40 barrel fermenters back there, just because of the wide variety of beers that they had on tap.
Yeah, they have a lot of variety and they have a style for everybody. So, yeah, if you're heading between Cincinnati and Columbus, which I need to check the map, Mike, I think it might be 71, but I always get those confused.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
you get both in Cincinnati, and sometimes you forget which one you're on. But anyway, if you're up there near that Kings Island area, it is super easy to get there, and it's just a great stop. They do have really good food, great beer.
They've got
styles for everybody. In fact, when I was there, they had the Kings Island Blue Ice Cream Ale on, and it tasted like the Kings Island Blue Ice Cream, which is little blue raspberry-ish. And I tried it because, you know, I did my duty.
Inquiring minds.
It wasn't bad. I wanted to hate it, and I didn't hate it.
I feel like you like blue raspberry stuff.
I do love blue raspberry.
I am glad that my check cleared and you did not bring that beer today.
But they've got barrel-aged beers. They've got coffee beers. They've got lagers. They've got ales. They've got seltzers. They've got pretty much everything you would want. They've really got something there for the whole family, including non-alcoholic seltzers for the kids.
Now, that's really surprising because I find with a lot of breweries when you get, you know, you try to do everything and be everything to everyone that you don't do a very good job of any of it.
I don't know. I feel like it works for some breweries.
I mean, it's working for them, you know, obviously. If,
like, look at the locally here, the tap list at New Heights is very, you know, varied. And it feels like this is a similar thing that you can find a style pretty much for everybody. It's not like one of those places where you go and there's 18 IPAs on tap. Mm.
We haven't talked about distribution, you know, for Sonder as well. And I will tell you that I did drop into a store in Columbus and indeed they had Sonder there. They didn't have certainly the wide variety that you're going to get at the brewery, but they had, I want to say, like three or four different beers, even in Columbus. So it looks like at least they're regionally distributing, but I've not seen these beers outside of Ohio, have you?
Yeah, I don't think they're outside of Southeast Ohio. They're not a very big brewery. They just opened a new tap room, and I feel like they're selling a lot of the beer in the tap room.
Well, it sounds like maybe that's, too, why they can make such a variety. Because if you're not trying to push a huge distribution
and getting tabs,
you know, you can make a few different things, and you're making smaller batches like this R&D stuff. You know, so you can play around and perfect your batches.
Yeah, because they have six or seven R&D taps on the list. So
bring more people to the brewery, capture that margin.
Yeah, I really want to throw down that coffee blonde and just double dog dare another brewer to pull that off and pull it off that well. Because I keep on thinking about the techniques they had to do to both make it taste like that and make it look like that. And I'm really kind of impressed overall with the way they pulled that off.
So best coffee beer you've had in a long time?
I think the best coffee blonde I've ever had, hands down. Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Cool. That's great.
Okay. Let's have this last beer.
Yeah, so let's do that. So last, but certainly not least, is the Nocturnal Dark Lager, 5.6% ABV. It's Schwarz beer, brewed in the traditional German style, utilizing German malt varieties to balance out the flavors of bread, chocolate, and roasty characters with a clean finish.
This is just a nice beer.
It really is. This is my favorite Sonder beer. Every time I go there, I buy at least one or two six packs of this.
This is pleasant.
Because I love a good Schwarz beer.
Yeah,
and this one, so tasty. Yeah. Well balanced.
Very bready.
Yeah. This is very real and authentic, if that makes any sense. Because Schwarz beers are another one where, like, they're over roasty, you know, or you can like taste the chemicals of like, you know, that little dark juice that was added to make it like a super dark beer. But this is not that. This is just lovely.
That roast comes off as a little bit of bitterness, which really balances out the beer without adding any like extra hop flavor.
Yeah.
And then it just stops.
And a lot of the bitterness I get in Schwarz beers a lot of times almost tastes like they burnt.
Yeah, you know, super burnt.
This is not that at all.
No.
It's a
soft roast. Astringent kind of.
Yeah, a really great balance that I enjoyed in this beer. And it reminded me of, you know, some other really good dark lagers. I was thinking of, I want to say Urban Chestnut. What's the one out of St. Louis? I think that's who it is.
Well, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, but not overdone. You know, I think there are definitely a lot of Schwarz beers we have that are too sweet. You know, feel like they're clubbing you over the head, you know, in terms of the bitterness. And again, just really, really great balance. If there was anything that I would have accused them of doing, would to take that coffee and load it on this lager. And
that would be nice.
I think
you should have done a master blend then.
Yeah, I think that would have been kind of interesting. Just, you know, and, you know, we're going to just do that right now. That's what we're going to do on the fly.
Cuvée.
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Yeah. So this is the coffee blend. All right. We're going to do this on the fly here to see how well Mike is. Oh, you killed yours. All right. Yeah. I'm just going to guess I'm the
only one. Go for it, Mike.
That's headed down the right path. That's interesting. Yeah, it's really kind of, it screwed up the lager. Yeah, it took it way too sweet.
Anyway. So there's that.
Well, there you go. That's why Mike's not the head brewer at Sonder.
I think it's difficult to pull off a really good dark lager without it just getting out of hand. And I really love the fact that they can make great ales and great lagers, you know, all under the same roof. So that's really awesome.
It's a nice mix.
It is. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we are going to rate the Nocturnal Dark Lager from Sonder A4. And, you know, if I may say overall on this brewery for like not having heard of it before, they're very thoughtful in everything that they're doing. There's no excess, there's no trendiness, if you will. I mean, and I'm sure they do have some trendy beers too.
Blue ice cream
to those people, right? But no, I mean, and what you picked, Mike, was perfect because it was a good cross section. And also some of these beer styles, if you're not up to the game, up to the task, it's going to be awful. And none of these were awful.
I think they should let the guy from Dayton with the van do a personal appearance there at Sonder. Yeah.
Maybe he could, you know, be their valet.
What? Are you saying that that's not a good marketing move, Drew?
You know, there is such a thing as bad publicity.
He would give everyone's vehicle personal attention.
I'm so confused.
Is that why I was not invited to the meeting? Is that what you're saying?
I was thinking about taking a trip to Ohio just to visit this brewery, but now you've brought that back up.
I've ruined the moment.
No. Yeah. You dialed it back down.
I'm sure we're going to pick up Skyline Chili as a sponsor. Yeah, there we go. That's fair.
Drew's looking for a Cincinnati three-way.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. I think we've upset everyone that we're going to.
Oh, I have a list of other candidates.
Okay. Well, Coulda Boy Mike, thanks so much for all the tidbits today.
Hey, thanks for joining us on this exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to come back and join us and to keep on sipping.
Coulda Boy Kendall, thanks for being here.
It was a pleasure to be here. Always enjoy drinking Sonder beers.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Hey, June. Good old boy Drew, thanks for being with us today.
I don't know if I'll ever be able to look at a van the same way again.
Right? I'm scared. Good old boy Dave.
Emotional damage.
I think we all have that after this episode. This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
I wonder what the flavor of the lube was.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle at Sip, Suds, and Smokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.